Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Healthy Matters, presented by Hennepin County Medical Center, a network of neighborhood clinics, specialty centers, hospital, and Minnesota's Level 1 Adult and Pediatric Trauma Center. Please remember, we can only give general medical advice during the program, and every case is unique. We urge you to consult with your personal physician if you have health concerns. Now, here's Denny Law with your host, Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician with Hennepin County Medical Center, with more Healthy Matters.
And good morning. Welcome to this edition of Hennepin County Medical Center's Healthy Matters. Dr. David Hilden is your host. Good morning, Dr. Hilden.
Good morning, Denny.
Nice morning.
It's a gorgeous morning, isn't it?
It's not officially summer, but it sure feels like it.
Yeah, it really does. It's been a nice warm weekend up here in the upper Midwest, where many of us are listening.
How have things been this week in the hospital?
Things have been good. It's been a... we've had our it's sort of end of year stuff. You know, I know hospitals run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year. But we're also a teaching hospital.
That's right.
And so when you're a teaching hospital, June is graduation time. You know, we have a new crop of doctors graduating, you know, dozens of them. In internal medicine, there's about 19 or 20 that are graduating. And then in a month, another new crop of interns comes in. And the medical students are all graduating from the medical school. And so it's sort of a festive end of year time at the hospital. And amid all that, we continue to care for all the patients. So it's a fun time.
Is it kind of like getting out of boot camp?
A little bit. It's a little bit like that. You know, the interns at the end of their first year, they all look a little shell-shocked, you know, because it's a pretty big learning curve. Sure. After medical school. You go to... 8 years of college, 4 years of medical school, 4 years of medical school, and then you're not done. You have another 3 years, and that first year of your post-medical school training is called internship, where you're responsible for everything except you've never seen a real-life patient, and you've never written a prescription before. And so you do it under the guidance of the faculty, so you're not all by yourself. And if you're a patient out there, you don't have to worry about it. You're actually getting better care at a teaching hospital. But it's still scary for the interns.
Oh, I can imagine.
There is actually a new study that says – it's not a new study, but I read about it just a few months ago – that the care at teaching hospitals is probably better than at non-teaching hospitals. Everybody says, I don't want anybody practicing on me. No. But when you go to a teaching hospital, you get a highly trained intern and resident – and a staff doctor, you get a team of people looking at you who are all not learning what to do, but they are applying what they know. That's the latest medical knowledge. It's the latest medical evidence, and they're applying it to you. And when you go to another hospital, you might get one doctor who's seeing patients during the day and comes in only once or twice, swoops in and out, maybe isn't as recently on top of the medical science. So teaching hospitals probably are actually higher in general. You get great care. So that's what's been going on at the hospital. And I have one of those teachers with me today.
And what are we going to be talking about?
We're going to talk about falls in the elderly and other related topics to getting older. And so I have Dr. Larry Kersner, who is the division director of the geriatric medicine division at HCMC. He is one of those teachers I've been talking about. He's made care of seniors the lifelong focus of his career. I've known him the entirety of my time. In fact, he was one of my teachers. He teaches residents, he teaches fellows and students in geriatric medicine. He's nationally known as serving in leadership roles in professional organizations serving seniors. And again, he runs our entire program of geriatrics at HCMC. And I'm going to say this because at that end of year stuff we do at the hospital, at teaching hospitals, we give a series of awards to the best resident, the best this, the best that, the best this. And Dr. Kersner just 2 days ago was named The award winner this year of our Clinical Excellence Award, which is given to simply one doctor who role models what it means to be a great doctor, and it was Dr. Kirzner. So, Larry, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave. I'm so glad to be here.
It's great to have you. And all these years on the show, this is the first time I've been able to convince Dr. Kirzner to come in. I think I asked you a few times before now. So tell us about yourself a little bit, Larry. You know, how'd you end up at HCMC? Where'd you do your training, and how'd you end up in Minnesota?
Thanks, Dave. I went to medical school at Georgetown and spent 20 years at Boston University on the staff in geriatric medicine, and came to Minnesota for an adventure. My wife and I said, let's do something different.
Not this East Coast excitement. You want to come to here.
And it's a tremendous adventure. We've had a great time here. It's a lovely community, wonderful professionalism. The people are fabulous. Our kids have grown and thrived. It was absolutely the best move.
And possible. You stayed here. You've been here what? How 20 years?
20 years.
20 years in Minnesota.
A little over 20 years, yeah.
And geriatric medicine. Did you always know you wanted to care for older adults, or how did you get into that?
Well, I was originally trained in infectious diseases and realized that infections in older people were a significant part of the illness that they experienced, and took a tour through a long-term care facility and realized if I'm going to be the best doctor I can be, I should study these areas for a while. And that turned into a career, shifted my entire focus into senior care and education. I was close to grandparents, raised close to grandparents. Mm-hmm. We visited frequently and had a good sense. And I love old people.
Yeah, I love old people too. And I bet there's two or three who are listening into our show today. I'm not sure that everybody knows about the specialty of geriatrics. I bet there's a lot of people out there who see their regular doctor. I'm sure they love their family doctor, their internist, but what is a geriatrician all about? Do you get extra training?
Thanks for asking that question. It's a great question. Geriatric medicine is now a specialty within family medicine and internal medicine. And physicians who have completed family medicine or internal medicine can elect an additional year of training. And during this year of training, they focus on all aspects of senior care, from thinking aspects to psychological aspects to functional aspects, which means how people take care of their daily activities, to all other sorts of health and illness and aging. And so these are real specialists in senior care. General internal medicine doctors and family physicians certainly care for many seniors, but sometimes people need or want additional specialty evaluation, and geriatricians are available for that.
Do most places have – I know at HCMC we have a robust geriatrics division, and is that common? Do most –
Well, it's quite uncommon, actually. There are nationally 140 training programs in geriatric medicine based at universities and major medical centers. We train approximately 250 to 300 geriatricians nationally each year. So the number that are trained are clearly do not sufficient for the need for the
sounds woefully population. Inadequate. 200 to 300 geriatricians are trained per year.
It's a lamentation.
Yeah, and nationwide.
Nationwide.
Wow. Well, our focus today, now that we could talk about darn near anything, but what we thought we would do today is focus on falls and why that's a big deal. And I was asking you off the air, I said, you know, falls in seniors are relatively common and have a lot of consequences, but when you hear it, it doesn't strike terror in your heart. You don't think, oh my gosh, my father had a heart attack or my grandmother has cancer. Those are bad. Falls, so what? They fell. But it's not the case that it's just a benign thing, falls.
Well, falls may not strike terror in the heart of younger people, but it certainly does in older people.
Mm-hmm.
Many older people recognize, a fall, that's a serious event and a harbinger, meaning a predictor of something bad that is likely going to happen. And people frequently are fearful of falling.
Right.
a fear of falling limits their activities, limits their out-of-house activities, curtails what they want to do. It's called what we call self-efficacy, the ability to maintain oneself in the community.
Mm-hmm. Is it common? I mean, you know, how common is
well,
falls?
Well, it's more common than you think.
Yeah.
Third of people over age 65 fall each year, one third, and the numbers increase as people get older. And falls are associated with significant injuries. About a third of those who fall need medical attention, and 5 to 10% of those have much more serious illnesses, such as fractures, such as brain injuries. And the fractures are not only bones, they're neck fractures and head injuries. And that's a very significant debility.
That number you just – that was staggering. A third of the people over 65 – and of those, a significant number, 5-10% are going to have something pretty bad.
It's an epidemic of falls.
That's an enormous number when you think about how many people are over age 65.
Yeah, this is a major public health issue. The Center for Disease Control has identified it as a major public health issue. The National Institute of Health and National Institute of Aging have identified it as a public health issue. And here in Minnesota, the Department of Health and Minnesota Board on Aging have identified this as very significant public health areas of concern.
When you, I know I do most of my care on hospitalized patients, and one of the things we talk about, and listeners might not realize how big a deal this is, even when you're in the hospital, we talk about it every day on every patient. We talk about Mrs. Jones, Mr. Smith, he's got pneumonia, he's got this, he's got that. What are his risks for falling? We talk about it every day on everybody because it is a big deal. And that's just in the hospital. Most falls happen out in the community.
Most falls do happen in the community. And the discussion today that I'm going to be focusing on is community-based falls.
So how does one – what are some of the risks that make people fall?
Well, anybody who has a walking problem is at risk of falling. If you feel like you have some difficulty with walking or your balance, that's a risk. Certainly if you've had – a single fall, that's a significant
risk. For having another one.
For having another fall, that's exactly right. If you fall in once in the year, the risk is that's actually the best predictor of subsequent falls. People who are taking multiple medications may be a risk for falls. There are a whole host of other kinds of illnesses and problems that can be risk for falls.
We're going to talk much more about falls with my guest, Dr. Larry Kirzner. I think it's time for a break, according to my good friend Denny, I think.
Yes.
Is it about time?
It is. And while we head to this break, why don't we invite our listeners to join in on the conversation by phone or by text, 651-989-9226. We've cleared the line, so if you'd like to use them, please do, 651-989-9226. Or send a text, if that's easier, 81807 for your text messages, 81807. CCO temperature reading currently 65. We're heading for 87 later today. And welcome back to this portion of Hennepin County Medical Center's Healthy Matters. We're talking about, among other things, concerns about falls in older adults. And again, welcoming your phone calls and text messages. We're already getting both. Phone number is 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Here again is Dr. Hilden.
Thank you, Denny. And I'm talking to my colleague, Dr. Larry Kirzner, who is the chief of geriatric medicine at HCMC, about falls. Now, we started, Larry, talking before the break about some of the reasons that make people fall. You said if people have trouble walking, if they've fallen before, you said medications. Are these all inevitable aspects of getting older? Is there anything we can do?
Well, there's an increased risk of falling as people age, but it's not inevitable. Many of these risk factors are what are considered modifiable. We can't eliminate entirely the risk for falls, but we can certainly decrease the risk for falls. And there's lots of scientific evidence over many years that have developed a framework for understanding this, a structured framework for working through how to reduce the risk factors for falls. In the same way we've learned how to reduce risk factors for heart disease and stroke, we can reduce the risk factors for falls. We may not be able to eliminate all of these events, but certainly can decrease the likelihood that they are going to occur and impact people's lives.
Are there things people can do at their home to modify their home environment?
Absolutely, absolutely. There's a whole structure for developing home safety. Lights at night, night lights at night. eliminating trip hazards such as throw rugs, slippery rugs, cords around which people may trip on.
You know, some things it sounds kind of simple, but we probably don't do. You know, lots of times people have to get up in the night to use the restroom, and it's dark, and your vision might be not be everything it was anyway, and there's a rug.
This is
in
the night light issue.
Or in my case, there's a dog in the way.
That has happened.
Tripping on the dog. That, you know, I'm doing that now. I'm doing that right. So there are some things. What about medications? Is there an effect of medications on falls? Because lots of seniors are taking meds.
It turns out simply the number of medications that people take may be a risk factor. While there may be there certainly are medications that are associated with falls relative to blood pressure control, relative to thinking problems, the totality of medicine seems to be a risk factor. And one approach is to try to look very careful for physicians to look very carefully at the amount and number of medications people are taking and work towards using only those medications that are clearly important for their health.
I know you've probably seen this a zillion times too, but you know, patients come in, and I bet they do in your geriatrics practice, and they have this whole list of medications. And sometimes we're not even sure why you're on them all, but one doctor started one thing. Then you went to the hospital and they started another thing. And then another doctor started another thing, and they start piling up. And maybe some of them are just really important, and maybe they're – but some of them might not be. So doing a good medication review is probably a good idea.
Not only the review, I encourage all of my patients to bring all their medicines to the doctor's visit each and every time. And there's a process by which we work over a period of time to try to analyze, look at the value and need of each particular medicine and gradually tailor it more specifically to the person's need trying to reduce medications.
Right, because they all have side effects. There's not a medication yet invented that doesn't have one. And some of them interact, and you've taken a whole bunch of them. I think that's a really important point to do that.
Absolutely.
What about we have a few text messages. I have a couple more questions I want to ask you. We have a few more questions about would it be – this one's about dehydration from the text line. Is dehydration a risk for falling? And would it be helpful if doctors would routinely suggest the importance of drinking water? Is dehydration more of a problem than we think regarding our balance?
Well,
what are your thoughts on that?
It's always a potential issue. And in some people, it may be more important than others. Some people are more prone to volume depletion, dehydration. The medicines that can promote that, but certainly excess fluid intake can be a problem as well. So it's a strikes a balance, and it's a topic to be inquiring about with your physician.
Mm-hmm.
So part of a falls risk assessment is amount of volume that people are taking in.
We have another question from the text lines about ice and snow. Since, you know, you used to live in Washington, D.C. when you went to school at Georgetown. Then you were out in Boston. So you've been in some icy places. Are falls, you know, are, is it more of a problem in the winter with ice and snow?
Surprisingly, in Minnesota, there are more falls in people over 65 during the summer months.
Really?
Than in the winter. I have the data right here. And perhaps
– okay, convince me of that.
Yeah,
why?
More active, out and about, tripping over more dogs. maybe we stay inside more in the winter. It's unknown why. But interestingly enough, it seems a little bit higher in the summer.
That is interesting. I wouldn't have probably thought that. But I guess you could see why that is. Maybe in the wintertime, seniors aren't getting out as much. You're staying
exactly.
It's dark in the evening, so you're staying home a little bit more and you're not outside as much.
Certainly the ice and snow are a significant risk factor, of course.
After the break, after our top of the hour break, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the consequences, what can happen when you fall and what are some of the dangers to doing that. Maybe before the break, why don't we take a few of the phone calls?
Sure, let's do that. Pat in Minneapolis is first up here. Good morning, Pat.
Yeah, I'm a cancer survivor of 15 years, gratefully. But I have pretty bad neuropathy in my feet and hands. And I have fallen several times due to that. And I'm just wondering if there's any new treatments for neuropathy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. situation, and so happy that you've survived and doing well, but have a residual, as you point out, and it's very common. Neuropathy is actually a very common problem in older people, not only related to the side effects of cancer chemotherapy, but from aging, from diabetes, from excessive alcohol. One of the important things that we've learned is the value of balance exercises. People think about, we think about strength and endurance and flexibility, and we frequently forget about balance. Balance is remarkably trainable. How do these ice skaters get up on one skate and get around the edge? They've been
trained. Well, let me tell you how I do that. It's a really good point, though. Yeah,
and so structuring a balance exercise as part of your regular exercise program is a really good idea. And there are a number of ways to do that. Center for Disease Control has a magnificent website and a program called STEADI, STEADI, Stopping Elderly injuries and disability, and there are videos to look at that demonstrate balance exercises. Balance exercise can also be obtained at YMCA, senior centers, the Minnesota Falls Prevention website has sites available where one can obtain balance exercises. So the more balance exercise possible, and not only for people who have neuropathy, for anybody, balance exercise is a good thing to do.
After the break, we're going to give that CDC website again, that STEADI website, because that sounds like a good resource for people. We're talking to Dr. Larry Kirzner, geriatrician and colleague of mine at HCMC. If you want to see Dr. Kirzner, his team, or any of the doctors at HCMC, it's simple to do. The number is 612-873-6963. 612-873-MYMD.
Very good. We'll take this break. We have another half hour of the show to go, so stay with us. In the Twin Cities, skies are fair, temperature reading 65, but we're heading to 87 later today.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of Hennepin County Medical Center's Healthy Matters. As you just heard, Dr. Hilden is your host. And Doctor, for those that maybe have joined us a little bit late, who did you bring with you today?
I brought Dr. Larry Kirzner, Chief of Geriatric Medicine at HCMC. We've been talking about falls in the elderly, and we're going to do a little bit more of that. Welcome to the show if you're just joining us. We've had a good conversation thus far. We've got lots of text messages and some people on the phone lines that we're going to talk to. I hope everybody's having a good early summer weekend. A couple bits of housekeeping thing. I promised we'd give that website that Dr. Kirzner mentioned previously, that STEADI program, which gives tips for maintaining balance. It's a program through the Centers for Disease Control. And if you were wondering what that is, that program is, it's at cdc.gov/STEADI, but with an I, STEADI, cdc.gov/STEADI. Also, I'll be putting a blog post up. It's been a little over a week since I've done one, but there will be one in the coming week, and that will be at myhealthymatters.org. You can check into the website that's our sister website that for the show. It's real easy, myhealthymatters.org, all one word. And there's lots of posts that I've done over the past year and a half, and you can look at old posts. You can listen to podcasts of old shows, including this one, which will be up later today. You can leave me a comment. You can get information about lots of different topics at myhealthymatters.org. I'll probably put a picture of Dr. Kirzner up there in the coming days, too. He's smiling. So Dr. Larry Kirzner, our chief of geriatrics, we're talking about falls in the elderly. And you were talking about balance. And there are several text messages about that. And then we're going to get to you, Bernita, on the line because she's been waiting a long time. But I want to touch base on this balance issue. And to help drive that part of the conversation, let me read you what Sarah wrote. Sarah is from Champlin, I believe. And let me just get back to here. It says, I'm sadly having gone through this, getting them, I assume she means her folks or something, to do what they're supposed to do is darn near impossible. Suddenly the doctor isn't my boss and us children, you know, we children don't know anything. Hopefully when it's our turn, we'll be model patients. Okay, so how do you get your folks to to use a cane or to tend to these issues to reduce fall, reduce fall reduction?
Well, many times the people do want to participate in balance exercises, falls reduction program, but sometimes people don't. They're fearful that maybe this means I'm getting old myself, and that's a bit of fear and concern. A good evaluation, watching their balance, watching their walking. Any abnormality in walking might prompt a further evaluation. Cane sometimes is very useful. Many people feel that a cane is needed to support themselves, their weight. But actually, a cane can be very useful as a feeler, to feel where the floor is. Sort of like the idea when you run down a stairway. Why do you touch the banister on both sides? It's not necessarily to hold your weight, but to give you a better sense of where you are in the environment.
You just lightly rub
run your fingers down the banister, down the handrail, and that can be helpful. So, why do skiers use their poles when they ski? They're not necessarily using it to support their balance. Certainly, the cross country skiers use it to push, but downhill skiers use it just to touch the snow and give them a better sense of balance. Mm-hmm. Proper fitting cane becomes important as well. Many people will borrow canes from neighbors or families or pick one up at yard sales. It should fit properly. The hand should be at the level of the hip with the elbow bent approximately 30 degrees. Many times we see the elbow up very high and the arm up very high. That's way too high or very low, and that doesn't fit as well.
So with your hand just down to your side, bent a little bit,
right.
The cane should be at your hip level.
I tell my patients in our falls clinic, I'm like the shoe man. It has to fit properly. If it doesn't fit properly, you're not going to like it and you're not going to use it. And very frequently, the most important thing I can do is to adjust the cane, because people come out and say, wow, that feels so much better.
Yeah, if it's
and
the right
then
size.
They use it.
Oh, perfect. And that last text message, who told me that, I said that was from Sarah from Champlin. It's from Carol. Carol, thank you for that. One more just on that topic, then we'll go to the phones. There's another one about falls. It says, I'm a senior citizen. I go to many of my grandkids' events. I'm so surprised that most times the gyms do not put handrails on the bleachers. Another thing they do is they have cords running up over the floor to the bleachers. It's all a trip hazard. Yeah. So your environment, that's true. I can just imagine bleachers and you're going to your grandkids' basketball game.
This is one of the items on the Minnesota Falls Prevention website. One of the items is, quote, poorly designed public spaces,
right,
unquote, as a risk factor for falls. Here it is. And so environments and cities and towns are working to become more senior friendly. And over time, we will see more of that. And here's an illustration where a better design could be had.
All right, let's go to the phone, 651-989-9226. Bernita is calling from New Brighton. Good morning. You're on CCO, Bernita.
Oh, hello. First, I want to say I really, really enjoy this program.
Thank you, Bernita. I appreciate that.
Every week. Well, I'm kind of old. I'm 83. And
that's not old.
Thank you. Well, I didn't feel old until 3 or 4 months ago. Uh-huh. A year ago, they put me on a generic, and it affected my foot and ankle. It swelled up that I got swollen the next day. And then hardly any a few symptoms there. And then the last 3 or 4 months, that leg, has gotten really bad. Heavy, numbness, burning. And I've gone to vascular, neurologist, orthopedic. They think, and then I got my back injected last week. And they think it might be a pinched nerve. And they're talking about gabapentin. And I look at the negative to that medication, and I live alone, and the balance is a little bit off because of the leg symptoms. So I was just wondering if it was you, Dr. Kirshner, would you take gabapentin?
Okay, that's a great question. Thank you very much. And it's a medication that we do use not infrequently, and it can be very helpful in many circumstances. The key thing for seniors is to start low. Low dose and gradually increase slowly. So we used to say, start low, go slow. And many times, all medicines, of course, have potential side effects, adverse effects. And when you look at the printout, it's very scary. The list goes on for yards and yards of multiple potential. But many people tolerate medicines without any difficulty at all and experience the beneficial effects. So,
and Bernita's having trouble with neuropathy, it sounds like, or a pinched nerve.
Yeah.
Gabapentin would be for that. It's maybe not going to be a miracle for her.
Potentially. It might be helpful. Your situation sounds like it's difficult to diagnose and maybe difficult to treat. But the question was focused on the gabapentin.
Yeah.
Would I take it and would I recommend it? If your physicians recommend it, it might be something to consider, but starting with a gradual test dose and go slowly.
Because that is one of the medications that has this huge range. And, you know, they say, you know, you can go up to 600, 900 milligrams three times a day. That would be an enormous dose for Bernita.
A large dose to start out with, though sometimes we do get up to that.
Yeah,
level.
But start at a very small
dose.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Bernita, thank you for your call. We have a few more hammers over there lining up some phone calls. I have a few more text messages if I could get to here. Let's see. This one says some older people should move out if they are out of their current home into a safer home environment, and adult children need to be involved with their parents for productive input and concerns. What do you think about that?
Complicated topic, the decision to leave one's home. The lifelong memories, the sense of independence is clearly a very important part of people's mental health and well-being. Having said that, many people do need to reside in a setting with more supportive services. There are increasing services available for people in their own homes and own community. It's an individual decision, sometimes plays out very difficult.
Are there services readily available or available at all for people to help them stay in their home?
Broad range of services. The Minnesota Board on Aging, Minnesota Elderly Linkage Line can be very helpful. Minnesota has a free one-time home evaluation that can be accessed through I believe it's the Board on Aging or the Linkage Line to help assess and evaluate what types of services might be available.
All right, I know we have to head to a break. We have more show to come, however. 651-989-9226 or send a text 81807 before we break.
Yeah, let me tell you, there's a lot going on this weekend here in the Twin Cities. If you happen to be in Minneapolis and or St. Paul, the metro area, it's open streets. You maybe heard about it at the news earlier today. HCMC will be there on Lindale Avenue around 27th Street. You can meet Bernie the Rescue Dog, enjoy some health trivia, some games, learn a little bit more about our Whittier Clinic, which is a fantastic clinic in South Minneapolis. The entirety of Lindale Avenue from 24th to 54th Street will be closed for foot traffic, so come see us at 27th and Lindale.
Very good, and we'll head to this break and be right back. 69 degrees currently in the Twin Cities. We're going for 87 later today. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of Hennepin County Medical Center's Healthy Matters. We're talking, among other things, about concerns about falls in older adults. And as you can see, Dr. Hilden, we have a ton of text messages.
We do have a ton of text messages. Thank you, Denny. Dr. Kersner, I'm going to ask you a few more text messages. Here's one that's very interesting about walk-in tubs. And the question is this. Are walk-in tubs a good thing for the elderly? I have not heard much about them, just see ads, thinking of getting one for my mom.
Well, getting into a tub is a difficult situation. Getting the leg up, getting it down over the side, slips and falls and injuries. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's downright treacherous.
Yeah. Walk-in shower, walk-in tub seems like a good idea. Proper safety equipment, grab bars, handrails, and non-slip surface would probably be important.
All those are a good thing, I would imagine. How about this question? It's related to aging in more in general. Is a lack of enthusiasm, strength, and endurance necessarily a part of aging?
Hey.
How strenuous should a workout be with weights and stretching, and can it be overdone? Then the text message goes on, but I'll ask you to respond to that part.
Complicated, but excellent question. And it touches on a number of things. One is this syndrome of what we call frailty, decreased weight, energy. How is your energy level? Decreased activity, strength, and speed. And so the concept of frailty, there's primary frailty, meaning coming about just from age, and secondary from underlying illnesses. So if you're experiencing one of those kinds of problems, probably should have an evaluation to identify causes and possible remedial factors, meaning those things that can be helped.
The concept of frailty is an appealing one to me. I remember I gave a talk at a conference, a lecture to a bunch of orthopedic surgeons. And the question presented to me as an internist was, well, when's it too old to get a surgery? And what we concluded is that age really isn't the issue, is it?
It's not the
frailty
issue.
Is the issue.
That's exactly correct. And how we define frailty is a hot topic in medical research, not only for surgical issues, cardiac surgery, other kinds of interventions as well.
Yeah, because you can be a young person who's relatively not so robust, and you can be a person well into your 80s and 90s and be quite robust.
These are different states of health independent of age.
Right. Here's one more text message that says about that topic, so I'll read it right now. My 78-year-old mom is very active. She works out at the YMCA and takes her dog on two-mile walks. I get concerned about her slipping and falling on the ice during the winter. Any suggestions to rein in this active mom?
Oh, don't rein her. Don't put her on a short leash.
I was going to see what the geriatrician said about that. I love this texter. How do I rein in my mom? Maybe you don't want to. But she brings up a point. You know, she's working out. She's lifting weights. She's walking.
Has she had any falls? Does she have any particular risk? Especially has she had any falls? Certainly safety during the winter becomes important. Here in Minnesota, there is a lot of ice and snow. My wife wears grippers when she walks the dog.
Really?
Always very good. Yep.
Wow, that's pretty good. I wipe out a lot. I'm running on the ice and I wear my sneakers. And I do want to read this one. It says, don't forget occupational therapists. They can be of great assistance in these matters.
Absolutely. The occupational therapist deals with upper extremity functioning, deals with assistive devices as well. So physical therapy, occupational therapy, all becomes part of the potential interventions. In our falls clinic, we frequently refer people for more detailed physical and occupational therapy.
We're out of time, but you mentioned just real briefly falls clinic a few times. Do you have a clinic just for people who are falling?
Yeah. As part of our senior care program, we have a specialty falls clinic where we work through the American Geriatric Society guidelines for falls risk reduction. It's an evidence-based guidelines, and for people who have had two or more falls or at risk of falling, and we work to decrease falls risk.
It's a great program at Geriatrics at HCMC. If you, your parent, your loved one, your spouse, you need a geriatrician, our number is easy. It's 612-873-MYMD. 612-873-6963, or you can always go to hcmc.org. You can go to the links to the clinics. You can make an appointment, and if you're a MyChart member, you can make appointments online. It's very slick. HCMC.org, or 612-873-63. And I'm going to thank you for being on the show. Just like that, we're just about out of time, Larry.
Well, it's wonderful to be here. Thanks, David.
It's been great to have you on. This is Dr. Larry Kirzner, our Chief of Geriatric Medicine at HCMC. I hope everybody has a great week, and get out to Open Streets today on Lindale Avenue.
When does that start?
I think it starts in just an hour or two. Later this morning, it goes on all day. I know there's a lot going on. There's Grand Old Day in St. Paul, but if you're in Minneapolis side, Lindale Avenue from 24th to 54th, goes right by my house, actually. But we're going to be at 27th in Lindale.
And next week's show is what?
We'll do an open line show next week, so get your questions ready about whatever's on your mind.
Very good. Thank you very much, both doctors. And stay tuned next for Your Money here on 830 WCCO. Currently 69 degrees.